Big news on the national level. You heard the CBS report about the impending release of that FBI memo, but people still talking about the State of the Union address that the president gave earlier this week. What did the president promise, and how does that compare to what Americans actually want? For that, we turn to Tom Jensen, who is the director of public policy polling. Publicpolicypolling.com is their website based out of Raleigh, with the latest national numbers and how they compare to what Trump said a couple of nights ago in the State of the Union. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So I know you were following the State of the Union and sort of responding to it in real time based on what the promises were that were being made, the issues that the president was raising, and what you know from having done a number of recent national surveys about what Americans actually want to see their government do. So how did the words from Tuesday night compare to what Americans actually desire?
Well, I think the sort of core claim that Trump can make about his first year in office is that the economy's really improved. And I think it's definitely true that the economy's really improved for some people. We obviously see with the gains of the stock market that anybody who has a lot of stocks is doing pretty well. And with the tax cut bill, anybody who's in sort of the upper echelon of the tax structure is doing pretty well. But I think the reason it hasn't translated to better approval numbers for Trump is that most Americans actually aren't feeling the benefit of some of these overall metrics that have improved. We've asked people, do you think that in the last year that your personal economic situation has gotten better, gotten worse, or stayed about the same? Only 32% of voters think that their personal economic situation has improved. 22% think it's gotten worse, and 42% think it stayed about the same. So even if sort of at a macro level, the economy is doing very well, when it gets down to individual households and whether people are actually feeling that recovery on sort of an individual level, only 32% of voters say yes. And I think that's why you can have an improving economy and still have Trump with pretty poor approval numbers.
How does that break down in terms of the partisan split? Is it that is it a correlation between I think I'm doing better economically and I approve of Donald Trump, or I think I'm doing worse and I disapprove of the president?
Yeah, there's definitely some aspect of that. Democrats say their situations haven't gotten better. Republicans say their situations have gotten better. And when Obama was president, we sort of saw the flip of that. Democrats said things were getting better for them. Republicans said they weren't. But the other really interesting divide that we're seeing on that front is whether people own stocks or not. If people do own stocks, and it's about 50-50 nationwide, whether people own stocks or not, among people who do own stocks, there's a feeling by about 30 or 40 points that their personal economic situation has improved in the last year. But among people who don't own stocks, people think by about 5 to 10 points that their situation's actually gotten worse. So we talk so much about America being divided by Democratic and Republican lines and urban and rural lines and those sorts of things. But there's also a big divide, particularly when it comes to this current economic recovery by stock ownership or not, because people who do not have a lot in the market aren't feeling this in the same way that better off people are.
That number 32, 22, 42, how does that compare to previous times when you've asked the same question? Are there trends up or down, or how does this compare to previous polls or previous years?
It's not something that we've done a ton on over the years, but it definitely does sort of continue this this trend of people sort of believing what they want to believe when it comes to the economy. One thing that was interesting at the end of the Obama administration was that among Trump voters, we asked, has employment gone up or down over the last 8 years? Has the stock market gone up or down over the last 8 years? Trump voters claimed that unemployment had gone up and the stock market had gone down. Even when the reality was very different than that. And the reason I think that's important is because we have all this historical sort of trend that if the economy's good, it's good for the president, that sort of thing. And I think it's important to note now that we've reached a situation where people are so partisan that they're not willing to give the president credit, or they're not willing to blame the president for the economy if that's sort of contrary to their overall political feeling. So I think that's a big piece of why there's this sort of historic disconnect between how well the economy is doing and how Trump's faring in the polls. Is Democrats, in a lot of cases, just dislike Trump so much that they're not going to be willing to give him any credit for something like this. And of course, they're very inclined and perhaps factually, correctly inclined to credit President Obama for a lot of this current recovery.
We're speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling. Again, publicpolicypolling.com is their website if you want more of the latest numbers. So with that in mind, typically we see after the State of the Union, the president always typically gets a little bit of a bounce in approval ratings and poll numbers that lasts for a little while and then settles back down to normal again. Are we even going to see that this time? I haven't even looked at the numbers that have come out in the last couple of days, so I don't know if there's been a bounce or if we don't know yet.
So the polls that have come out about the State of the Union show that people liked it, but here's the thing is, only people who usually like the president tend to watch the State of the Union, or at least it's very disproportionately the case that people who like the person who's the president watch the State of the Union. So even though the instant polls are saying that it was well received, Trump is actually getting the lowest positive marks, even though they are positive marks, of any president for their State of the Union in like the last 20 years. So I think it's possible that his approval rating could see an uptick to like 42%, 43%, 44%, something like that. But it's certainly not going to make him instantly popular, and it's not likely to be very lasting either. One thing I was sort of rolling my eyes thinking back on in the preview to this year's State of the Union was when President Trump gave his first address to Congress last year. The media just went all gaga about it and said it was a new Trump. Van Jones on CNN very memorably declared that Donald Trump became president tonight. And, you know, within like 3 days, he was right back to trashing people on Twitter. And, you know, he didn't call anyone's wife ugly or anything this morning, but he was certainly back to, by any historical standards, unpresidential behavior on Twitter after having 2 or 3 days where he was well behaved. So I think it's unlikely we're going to see much of a lasting sort of shift in the landscape towards Trump because of this speech. I think the other reality of the situation is, who's even thinking about the State of the Union still 2 days later? You know, it's the kind of thing that might have had a week-long news cycle attached to it in a different time in history, but we're in a very different time in history where nothing lasts for more than about 24 hours.
Speaking again with Tom Jensen. So anything else? I kind of precluded this question by saying we're not even thinking about it anymore, but anything else jump out at you from the State of the Union on Tuesday and how that compares to numbers you've seen?
Not too much from the State of the Union. I think one development on the national political scene nationally in the last 2 weeks that's sort of interesting to look at is where Democrats were leading generic ballot polls for the House this year by like 11 or 12 points the week before Christmas. Now their average lead in those polls has come down to 6 or 7 points. And it's going to be really interesting to see if that's actually a real lasting shift that's making this political cycle maybe not as bad for Republicans as we might have expected it to be late last year, or if it's just sort of noise in the polls and Democrats really do have a double-digit lead. So that to me, as a pollster, has been the most interesting thing that's gone on in the last couple weeks. Obviously, Republicans are, you know, inclined to say, well, now that tax reform got passed, Republicans are more excited about their own party. So you're seeing an uptick in enthusiasm and support sort of internally for Republicans now and that sort of thing. I'm not sure that's true. It might be true, but I think we need more information to see. And of course, Democrats are, you know, more inclined to sort of just see it as a temporary blip. Mm-hmm. There were times during the presidential campaign where the numbers would shift by 3 or 4 points at some period for no apparent reason and then go back where they came from. But it matters a lot because at a 6 or 7 point generic lead, Democrats may or may not get control of the House. It'll be close. At an 11 or 12 point generic lead like they had right before Christmas, I think Democrats are virtually certain to get control of the House.
Public Policy Polling is the website. Go there and find out more information. Tom, before we let you go, I know this was a number that we didn't get a chance to talk about last week, but with the 2018 election coming up, a lot of races that are on the ballot that would not necessarily be thought of as being high highly contested or toss-ups or leaning one way or the other, as opposed to lock Republican or lock Democratic districts, might actually be up for grabs this year, considering the state of things. And that includes the U.S. Senate, where Democrats have a big uphill battle in order to pick up really any seats at all in 2018. But some states are beginning to come into play that you might not necessarily think. And one of those is Texas, where Ted Cruz is up for re-election, but the Democratic challenger is raising quite a bit of money, more than Cruz, in fact, in some cycles. Where do things stand as far as the polling numbers go?
Yeah, we did a Texas poll last week, and we found that Ted Cruz was ahead by 8 points, but it was only 45 to 37, which certainly is a unusually competitive race for Texas. And I think there's a couple different dynamics driving that. One is that Donald Trump is unpopular even in Texas now. Only 45% of voters there have a favorable opinion of him. 48% have an unfavorable opinion. And actually, Gallup yesterday released its 50-state data for the first year of Trump's presidency, and they found Trump with a 39% approval rating in Texas, even lower than these numbers that we found last week. So it is an unusual situation for a Republican president to be a liability for Republicans in Texas. So that's one piece of it, is sort of backlash against Trump. And then the other piece of it is that Ted Cruz is not a well-liked person himself. Only 38% of voters in Texas have a favorable opinion of him. 49% view him unfavorably. So at this point, Beto O'Rourke, the Democrat, is not very well known. But as you noted, he has raised a lot of money. He's going to be able to get himself out there over the next 9 months in a way that he hasn't so far. So this is just sort of one of those interesting races to keep an eye on. It shouldn't be competitive, but if it does turn out to be a strongly Democratic year, one thing that didn't get as much attention because people were so shocked by Trump winning is that Texas actually moved towards the Democrats in 2016, even as the country as a whole was moving towards the Republicans. On a national level, Hillary Clinton did 2 to 4 points worse than Barack Obama had done in the popular vote. But in Texas, she did 3 to 5 points better than Obama had done in the popular vote. So people have been saying forever that Texas is the next California, and eventually it's going to get a lot more hospitable towards Democrats. I think it's still a long time before Texas could ever be thought of as a blue state, but we sort of are starting to finally see that shift where it's starting to move somewhat to the left, and I think eventually is going to be much more of a competitive state than we've thought of it being in recent history.
PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website. Go there and get more. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.